Welcome to the Lighthouse Church podcast. Thanks so much for joining us for this week's message. We want to say a special thank you to each and every person that gives and partners with us. To learn more about what Lighthouse Church is doing in San Bruno and across the San Francisco Bay Area, visit our website, www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Like and subscribe so you don't miss any new content. Now, check out this week's message. And today we're talking about abiding in him. And we're in John 15 today, verses 1 through 5. So in John 15, I'm give you context for what's happening in this scripture. Jesus is heading into 24 hours before crucifixion. And he is instructing his disciples on abiding in him. He's giving them directions. It's one of their last conversations that he's giving them. And can you imagine that? What he's thinking, what he's going through, and what the disciples are, are you sure this is going to happen? You know, like they don't really know, but Jesus knows. And have you ever in your life left instructions for someone when you're maybe leaving your kids with somebody, they're gonna babysit, so you leave a list of things because you know what's best for your kids. You know what is gonna happen in their personalities, and you know what they need. Or you're on vacation, going on vacation, and you have to leave your team at work instructions so that they can go on with the process without you in as smooth way as possible. And this is kind of like that. It's that he's giving instruction. And so it's like, I don't know about you. In my human nature, I'd be like, sure, God, whatever you say. You know, like, yeah, fine. But he's saying to abide in him. John 15, 1 through 2 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. What is pruning? I'm not a gardener or anything like that, but pruning helps with the overall health and structure of a plant. It directs growth, it says. It says it trains the plant to develop a strong structure. It improves health. It increases fruit production. And it's removing the old and unproductive branches, the dead things, the things that are not serving us. And so that is what we're doing spiritually, a spiritual pruning. When he says, I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser, he's removing from us the things that don't produce fruit, that don't bring us into the purpose that he called us to. And so sometimes we hold on to that, you know, we're like, no, I can't let that go. But he's asking us to surrender that to him. And so in surrendering, there's pain involved, right? You're cutting off something. And sometimes it's like painful to see. It's painful to watch. I wrote about a little post about my labor experience with my daughter. And it was painful. If you've been through childbirth, you know that it's painful. And in our own human flesh, we fight those things that hurt, right? We're tense. Our bodies are like clenched. Our, you know, teeth are like, ugh, and we don't breathe. You know, we're just like, no, this hurts, and I can't do it. But I wrote this. I knew that if I fought the pain, it would only be harder. So I leaned into the pain. Sometimes we have to lean into the hard things instead of fighting them. It is there that we find the power and the strength to get to the beauty on the other side. Have you been through a pruning process? And what does that look like? What is God trying to remove from you, even though it hurts? What is he trying to take away from you that you're holding on to so that he can come in and replace those things? So that he can come in and give you the fruit that you're meant to have, because the Bible says we're meant to be fruitful. We're meant to be fruitful. It's not necessarily that we're just automatically fruitful, but we have to step into what God is asking us to do. We have to step into the things that he's calling us forward to, because he doesn't want us to stay stuck. in bondage. He doesn't want to stay stuck back here when there's so much more ahead of you. And we're just so focused on the pain. We're just so focused on the things that hold us down. But we can't. We have to let him prune us because there is beauty on the other side. So what are you fighting? What is God trying to teach you in this process? Because we don't tend to look at that automatically, right? We're not like, God, what are you trying to show me? No, we're just like, no, God, I can't do this. It hurts. Don't take this away. Don't take that away. But when we surrender to his will, he has so much more for you. He has so much more for you. And it's meant to be painful, right? Because without sacrifice, you're never going to know, right? Without sacrificing that thing, you're never going to know. It's like when Abraham, right, went to sacrifice his son because God gave him to Abraham. God gave Isaac to Abraham. And he said, I'm going to give him back to you. And when he gave him back, he said, I'm going to do this. He went up, you know, and was going to give his son. And as soon as that happens, there's a ram in the thicket. So as soon as you get there, there's something waiting for you. And you didn't have to sacrifice the thing that you thought you were holding on to so badly. But he wants to know, are you going to let it go? Is it bigger than me? Is this thing that you are holding on to more important than the God who gave it to you? It's not. I can tell you that. It's not. My life has been in a pruning process for like a year, and it's like never did I think I would be here today, standing in front of you, giving a word, but it's an honor, and it's a privilege, and I am blessed, and I am so grateful that he chose me, because the Bible says he, from my mother's womb, he called me, and when we remember that, I'm worth something. He knew. He gave me a name before my mother knew my name. And when we know that, we can hold fast to that truth because he's a good God. Surrendering the things to God, remove the things that keep us stagnant, the things that don't move us forward, the things that he's calling us into, but we have to trust. We have to abide. John 15, 4 through 5 says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. He's giving specific instructions there where he says, unless you abide in me, unless you abide in me, you cannot bear fruit. These are his instructions to his disciples. These are his instructions to us. There's no other way, right? Unless you abide in me, apart from me, you can do nothing. And it's like we go through life and we think we can do it in our own strength, right? We go through and then we're like out of gas at the end of the day because we forgot to surrender to God. We forgot to wake up and ask him for the grace to get through and ask him for the strength that he gives us to get through. Abiding means to remain, to stay connected to Jesus. How do we do this? Is through proximity. How close are you to your Father? How well do you know his voice? Could you recognize it in a grocery store or when you're pumping gas? Could you hear him and know that it's him? Because if it was a loved one, if it was your child, if it was your parent or your spouse, you would recognize their voice without seeing them, right? You could be in aisle 9 and they're in aisle 1 and you hear them and you're like, I know who that is. What are they doing? But do you know God's voice like that? When he speaks to you, can you hear him? Do you know his voice when you're just in the middle of nowhere? Can you recognize it? It's proximity. How close are you? Are you a spectator of Jesus? Or are you a follower of Jesus, a believer of Jesus, knowing what he's done for you, that he set you free, that he rose again, that he hung on the cross for you, but he won the victory? And it's like we walk in this like defeat as if we don't know the end. We know what happens, right? And it's like we can't afford to do that anymore. We need to keep him at the center of our lives. I was reading in our Monday Connect group, we have a book called Draw the Circle. And it said, the closest distance between you and God is here. How close are you to your Father? He's just a prayer away. And it doesn't have to be elaborate. You can just say his name. Because it says, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And he's our Father. And he wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to abide in him. He wants relationship with us. When you wake up in the morning, you know, you automatically go through your day. You wake up, you get up, you go to the bathroom, you brush your teeth, you brush your hair, you know, you do all the routine things, you drink your coffee, you know, all of that. But what if when you opened your eyes, before you got up, you spoke to God, you prayed, you acknowledged your Father, you gave your day to him, because there's too much that we face in the day to not acknowledge the one who woke you up today. It's like we're just on autopilot. And in autopilot, we forget who woke us up, who brought us through the day, who provided the meal on your table, who helped you pay the bills. We forget who he is. We forget he's our Father. And we don't draw near to him. We get farther away when we're on autopilot, when we don't acknowledge him, when we don't say, God, I got to give this to you because I can't do it on my own. It's your power by your might that this all gets done, that he created the earth, right? He hung the stars in the sky, but we are worried about all these things. We don't say, God, did you worry about how the stars were going to stay suspended in the sky today? We don't think about all the things that happen in the earth. You know, we just think about our own little world and what we're going through. And we don't see, like, what God is doing, because he doesn't sleep, he doesn't slumber. So it's like when we are going through things, we could give it to him, and we can go to sleep, right? Because he doesn't sleep. He's taking care of it all. He doesn't sleep, so I can go to sleep tonight. So in the morning, we should acknowledge God. We should acknowledge our Father. We should acknowledge the relationship that we have with him and to give to him what we have, the little that we have. We got to give it to him, because that's where he can multiply. If we hold on tight, he can't do that, because he's growing you. He's trying to get you to know that you can trust him. I mean, we can see with our eyes here, you know, humans, they fail us all the time. And that's where we get disappointed. That's where we get hurt. That's where when we put all these things above God, and all these people above God, that's where we get disappointed. That's where we get hurt, because they're not perfect. But our Father is. And he should be first. He's not going to disappoint us. Things may hurt, but he didn't say that life was going to be without storms. We have to abide in him. We have to acknowledge him. We have to have proximity to our Father. What if you only spoke to a loved one once a week on Sunday? would that be enough to cultivate your relationship? Would it be enough to just have one casual conversation? Hey, how you doing? The donuts are good today. See you later. Have a good week. Is that enough? Is that enough? When you think about God, your Father, that's brought you through your life and all the details that he's been in, that his hand is in it all. And from the beginning, all the things that he put inside of you are for a purpose. Everything that you're walking through is for a purpose. So when he prunes us, we can say, here I am. Take what you need to take because all I have is yours. It was never mine to begin with. And now I'm giving it back to you. And see what he does with it. Because in his hands, anything is possible. Psalm 143:8 says, let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for I trust in you. Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Genesis 19:27 says, and Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. Exodus 24:4 says, and Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain. Mark 1:35, Jesus, rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Early in the morning, they gave their day to God. Jesus rose early in the morning and he prayed. So what can we do? What can we learn from that? Early in the morning when they woke up, they gave praise. They gave a sacrifice of praise. No matter what it looked like, they gave a sacrifice of praise to God, even though it hurt. They abided in Jesus, in the Father. Are you hitting the snooze button on God? You know that alarm in the morning that you hit three times? You're just like, not yet, not yet. But are you hitting the snooze button on God? When he's calling you, when he's talking to you, when he's trying to get to you, are you just like, no, not right now. Maybe later, maybe in five more minutes. Don't hit the snooze button because he's not hitting the snooze button on you. What does your prayer look like? Is it a monologue? Is it just what you say to him? Or are you waiting to hear his voice? Can he pour into you what he has for you? Can he give you the direction? We can't afford to be casual about our prayer life anymore. There's too much going on to face in the day that we don't surrender it to him. I heard someone say, you can't afford to have a part-time prayer life with a full-time devil who's fully staffed. When things get in our way, the slight inconveniences, when someone cuts us off on the road, or you know, a bill unexpectedly comes, or you know, like you have to rush to pick up your kid and you have to leave work and you have to tell your boss and you're like, no, what do I do? You know, all those things, those setbacks are a moment where we can react in our flesh and we can say, oh, I can't do this. Oh my God. We can complain and complain and complain. But, you know, the Israelites, they complained. They stayed in the wilderness for 40 years. When their journey was supposed to be short, they complained instead of remembering the God that took them out, that took them through the water on dry land. We forget. And we are faced with all these things, you know, and we have to be more aware. We have to see, like, the obstacles in front of us. Because God gave us a spiritual eyes. And with your spiritual eyes, you can see all the things that are in front of you because he makes you aware. But when we don't use them, we're tripped up all the time. He gave us everything that we need. Acts 6:4 says, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. We have to devote ourselves to prayer, to be connected to the vine. As you know, we've been going through our connect groups, and you know, it's some of them are devotions, so it's daily. And I think Pastor Allison mentioned this before. I've been through the book that we're going through on Mondays, and what that helped me do was connect with God. I was in the Word, but a daily reminder, a daily devotion, a daily thing is something that you can discipline yourself to do. You can say yes to 15 minutes of your day. It's a daily deposit, a daily discipline. What are you putting in so that God can pour into you? When you build up that habit of being in a daily relationship, in a daily, you know, prayer life, in a daily surrender, it becomes second nature, just like brushing your teeth, brushing your hair. When you wake up, you acknowledge who woke you up. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. But we can't keep in step with the Spirit unless we are abiding in him. Galatians 5:22-23 tells us what the fruit of the Spirit is. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do you have those things? You can't have them unless you abide in him, unless you're in a daily surrender, unless you die to your flesh. You can't have those things. You can't produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit if you don't abide in Jesus. He gave us clear instructions. Because this tells us that we can operate in all these things, in love, in joy, in peace, in patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We have self-control when we want to have a tantrum, you know, when we want to say, no, this is not fair, and you want to kick and scream. But he gives us self-control. He gives us exactly how we need to go about our day. We have to die to our flesh. We have to put down our selfish desires. We can't produce these things when we don't abide. He is the vine. We are the branches. Your prayer life is the root. Jeremiah 17:7-8 says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes. For its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Someone said, the ignorant believer is a defeated believer. We must contend for knowledge. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We have to know him. We have to know his word. Jesus was giving instructions to his disciples. He said, abide in me. This is where you bear fruit. Apart from him, you can do nothing. God has left a manual for life, and yet we don't use it. We don't abide in him. We don't pray continually. We don't put on the full armor of God that he's given us. And a lot of this time, we don't pick up our sword. We don't pick it up, but this is our sword. This is how we defeat the enemy. This is how he defeated the enemy when he's in the garden and he's trying to tempt Jesus, or, you know, he's trying to tell him this and quoting scripture to him. If the enemy knows scripture, should we not know scripture? If that's how Jesus fought him, how should we fight? With our sword. There's a deeper call that he has for you, a deeper relationship that he wants to draw you into so we can be fruitful, so you can see the things that are producing fruit in your life. What if the fruit you produce in your life is not only meant for you, but those around you, your children, your future generations? What are you planting? What are you sowing today? What are you pruning? What is God pruning so that you can affect the future generations of your families and those around you, those that you come into a daily contact with at your church, at your job, outside, where in the grocery store? How? What is he pruning from you so that you can help those people? What would it be? How different would things look? Would there be a shift? And I'm reminded of the story of how Joseph was sold by his own brothers and how painful that must have been. But that process was shaping him for who God called him to be, and his life produced fruit not just for him, but for his family too. When Joseph was revealing to himself to his brothers, it says in Genesis 45, 4 through 8, "So Joseph said to his brothers, 'Come near to me, please.' And they came near, and he said, 'I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest.' But he says, 'And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt.'" What is he pruning from you so that you can produce fruit not just for you, but for the future generations? He was sent ahead of his family to save them. The fruit of his relationship with God saved his family. I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you in your life to be intentional, to abide in him, to surrender to him, to enter his gates with thanksgiving. Because in every season, even in the pruning, he is good. And when we abide in him, our lives bear much fruit. Thank you for listening to Lighthouse Church's podcast. We hope today's episode has enriched your faith journey. If you have any questions or want to learn more about our church, visit www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.